for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to the latest edition of Wayne's Comics. This week I have a real special guest. I have Saitama, who is the creator of Cancer Town, The Indifference Engine, and Slaughterman's Creed, among other good independent comics. He's going to talk about projects he's working on, as well as what's going on in the independent comics world. I'll talk also this week about the crazy and wonderful things that arrived in the comic store and give some reviews of comics that have come out recently. So let's get to it. Okay, we're talking today with Saitama, who is the creator of such wonderful comics as Slaughterman's Creed, The Indifference Engine, and Cancer Town. I have to say, Sai, that some of the stuff that you do is some of the most unique and influential stuff I think that's out there today in comics.
Firstly, thanks a lot for that. I mean, I guess this is the kind of thing that you're only going to find in the indie end of the market. Mm-hmm. And which is why at the moment I'm so committed to working in the indies.
Some of the stuff that you do is just so unique. I just don't see anybody else doing anything like it. And I'm a big fan of all of the stuff that I've read of yours, particularly Cancer Town, which I thought was really unique. I love the subtitle called An Inconvenient Tooth, which mm-hmm. of course is the play on the Al Gore Inconvenient yeah. Truth movie. I thought that was pretty cool. What else do you have coming up right now? I know that there's some pages now on your website, which is appropriate enough, CYDETHAN.com. And you've got some illustrations from Cancer Town 2, Blasphemous Tumors.
Oh, yeah, and it is looking terrifying. I'm thinking now I may actually have finally written a book that I'll be too scared to read.
Oh, my goodness.
having seen the artwork that's coming in from Graham Howard, mm-hmm. he's currently working with a company called Time Bomb. Mm-hmm. on a Dick Turpin comic. And we looked through some of his samples there when Harry Marcos of Marcosia suggested him for the project, and we just absolutely flipped. And I've been repeatedly sort of scraping my jaw off the floor ever since. It's just got some real good nightmare stuff. Mm-hmm. He's immediately got a grip on what Cancer Town is about. Mm-hmm. And he's fast, and he's just stunningly good. Mm-hmm. So we're all really excited about that.
Well, I see two pages out there, and they are quite interesting. I'm going to be fascinated to see where they fit in the stories, because it looks very dark and very, very moody and very brooding look to it.
We set a number of balls rolling in mm-hmm. the first one. Mm-hmm. And there are certain key statements that are made throughout the first book, prophecies, if you will, that we need to now see come to fruition in the second volume. So it's very much going to be about carrying on the general path that we've set. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, all the rules are changing now. Mm-hmm. Everything is falling apart. We've got key players being shuffled out of the pack now in the most horrific and brutal ways. And in the middle of it, you've just got this one guy trying very hard to hold both his lives together. Mm-hmm. I'm just really excited about the way it's coming out.
Well, you've got my favorite character back, the Corpse Grinder, who just always unnerves me every time I think about him and look at him. Yikes, naked old man walking around, just sort of, I don't know, that really gets to me.
From the rest of what's happening in Cancer Down 2, the Corpse Grinder is the least of your worries from here on out. I can promise you that.
Oh, my goodness. I'm in trouble now. Okay. Well, that's good. I'm looking forward to it. Any idea about when you're planning to publish that?
He's fast, but I think we're looking at next year now, because I don't want to make any bold statements about that just yet. Traditionally, I think you've got to expect from the time an artist first puts pen to paper on a book the length of Cancer Town, mm-hmm. you've got to figure a year before the final strokes are made.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Anybody wants to get a look at the two pages that are out there, they're on your site, which is really cool. So I understand that you have a recently announced project you want to tell us about?
A couple, actually. I've got one sort of personal one.
Okay.
And you remember I was telling you the last time when I was on the show with you and Ian about Barry Nugent's Fallen Heroes project, which is a comic adaptation that just launched at – we just had a convention over here in Cardiff. Mm-hmm. It was just like the first time I've ever heard of a book selling out twice on the same day.
Wow.
Because they ran out of stock, they dashed over to the writer of the comic adaptation, and they managed to get from him the few copies of the books that they'd given him to sell, you know, from his own table, grab them, drag them back. They sold out again, and this all happened within the space of about an hour and a half.
Wow.
So the mastermind of the whole project, Barry Nugent, he announced there, so I guess this is why I'm okay to talk about it, that he's got several spin-offs being done in comic form. And the first of those is going to be taking a character from the book called The Reverend, mm-hmm. who's almost like a religiously motivated punisher.
Mm-hmm.
He's got elements of the spirit and some of this, there's one sort of pulp feel to him.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one that he's got me working on.
Wow.
I'm just really pleased. You can tell I'm sort of enthusiastic about everything that's happening in my life right now.
Great.
But this is a big part of it because I really wanted to get involved in this project as best I could. So when Barry sort of was, and I could feel that he was kind of sidling up to asking me if I wanted to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of sidling up to asking if I could get involved.
Mm-hmm.
And it really took my girlfriend, Nick Wilkinson, who knows both of us,
mm-hmm.
sort of knocking our heads together before we actually crossed that bridge. Yeah, I've got the plot all laid out. It's all approved. It's just a one shot.
Mm-hmm.
But the character that I've got has an enormous backstory that remains largely untold
mm-hmm.
in the main novel.
Mm-hmm.
I've been given an awful lot of rope, but at the same time, Barry is very keen to remain involved throughout the whole process. I don't get off track, and I never have to worry, you know, if I'm not going to have a question that I can't answer because I can always refer back to Barry.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I don't know if you know, but Ian and Colin, who is the head honcho of SciFiPulse.net, put up a story. It has a first look at the Reverend from Fallen Heroes, and it has a graphic drawn by Penfold. An image of him. So I imagine
that. I could probably look that up.
Okay, yeah, it's got a nice drawing of it. It's sort of an interesting thing.
I've seen, if it's the same images that I've seen, I think he's got a really good feel for it, for the character there straight away. And of course, having a visual really helps me
mm-hmm.
when I'm coming to now write this thing.
It's kind of brownish with like a green sort of bar across, and it says Fallen Heroes. On the bottom, it's got big black words, Reverend, the Reverend. It's got several sketches, looks like, on a sort of a brownish background. So it's kind of cool. If somebody wants to see it, it's at scifipulse.net. Maybe even you, Si, would like to go see it.
Definitely.
We're big fans of Barry Nugent's Fallen Heroes. Now, it's lucky enough that Ian has actually read the novel. I'm actually coming at it from a comics point of view, so we're coming at it from different perspectives. And I know that Ian is very enthusiastic about the character of the Reverend, and it's cool that you are too. So I'm looking forward to that. I haven't finished the miniseries. I'm ready for the next one.
Awesome.
So that's cool. So you had something else you wanted to bring up too?
Yeah, this has been quite an interesting development that's happened since we last spoke. There's a writer called Dwight McPherson. He's got actually a very impressive track record. He's been involved in American McGee's Grimm. He was involved, I believe, in the Gene Simmons House of Horror comics, which is how I first heard of him.
Okay.
You know, he's got books like The Surreal Adventures of Edgar Allan Poe. You can look him up. And yes, actually, Surreal Adventures of Edgar Allan Poe. I did say that right.
Yeah.
Look him up on Amazon. He's got a lot of really interesting stuff out. He basically had this idea of using Twitter as a way for indie creators to sort of come together and promote each other's work. Because obviously, you know, PR is a hard graft, whatever end of the industry you're in, but especially
right.
at the small press and independent end of it. And so essentially what he's got is sort of a viral hashtag movement.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an announcement to make, or you have some pages that you want to show, or you've got a new book, or you're looking for co-creators, or you need advice, mm-hmm. and you hashtag NDCA for Indie Comics Alliance, that's
mm-hmm.
NDCA.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who's following that list suddenly is going to see your message, and you'll either get retweeted or you'll get information and support. And it's just a really good idea, and it's taken off very quickly because within about a week it had over 70 people signed up to it.
Wow.
And it's still growing. There's talk about getting a website set up specifically for it. It's amazing quite how willing people have been to investigate and promote and support each other's work.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling this is going to become a really viable way forward for people getting out information about their work and finding information about other people's work. And I've discovered, I know, a ton of really interesting things from web comics right up to, you know, full-blown graphic novels I would almost certainly not have been able to find out about, at least not nearly so accessible to me. And I'm really enjoying, you know, watching this develop
mm-hmm.
and being part of it. So.
Well, it's really cool because, you know, Marvel and DC have all the weight of the companies behind them. But you all, because you're independents, you don't have that to draw on. If you can, draw on each other and, you know, help each other.
You've hit a really key point there. because particularly as you get higher up, you know, towards the larger publishers, you increasingly are going to find there is a separation. There are more hurdles to jump. There are more gateways that you have to, you know, negotiate, more gatekeepers, layers and layers of people who are essentially employed to say no to you and to find reasons to say no to you. Their sole job is just to kill your project, because the moment that one of them says yes, they're risking someone else's money on it. You know? So there is an incredible resistance towards looking at new and innovative stuff because it's not proven. At least it's not proven within that environment. So to have a resource where people are actually actively interested in each other's work and in promoting the stuff that's worth promoting, that isn't going to get promoted any other way, I think it's going to be an invaluable resource. And if it sparks off other initiatives that are similar, then the whole thing could catch on just really, really strongly.
You know, it reminds me, I'm a big fan of piano music, and there's a guy in the States here, he has like a studio set up in Seattle on the West Coast, and what he does is he makes his own CDs of music, but he often does little concerts in his home, and he shows them on the internet, and he also puts out CDs that include other people's music, and he's got me turned on to several other pianists I'd never heard of before, and probably would never have heard of had I not been following his stuff. So I just think that's kind of cool. You know, it's the same situation you all are working on. You're coming together to promote each other's stuff, and I think in the long term, you all will benefit from that.
Yeah, it's a tremendously healthy thing. It's one of those ideas that once somebody comes up with it, there's just this mass of people going, why the hell has no one done this before? You know, Twitter obviously provides a technological platform for it. But it's more a sort of a shift in the mentality of where people realize it doesn't necessarily poison your work for somebody else to have success with their work.
Right.
And so whenever an indie comic has any kind of breakthrough success, my take on that is it elevates all of us. You know, it's a cause for celebration every single time that happens. If somebody that I've worked with, you know, land a good high profile gig on something else, I throw a small party in my head for that moment, because it raises everyone's profile and it raises everybody's expectations of what we can achieve and what we are obliged to achieve, you know?
Very good. Well, you know, I think this is going to help the comics industry as a whole, to be honest with you, because the more variety we have, the more chances we can take, the more unusual things we can explore, I think the stronger the industry is going to become. So I think this is a very good thing.
It's just been a tremendous outburst of positivity, which is not something that you necessarily automatically associate with indie comics. A lot of people sort of struggling and now realize that they have a way of connecting themselves, you know, to the wider world of this. And that there are people there who are not just desperately trying to pull the ladder up after them, but are actively holding the doors open. It's just tremendously healthy.
Very cool. Well, you know, I appreciate talking with you, Cy, and I wish you much success. I'll be interested to follow what's going on with the Indie Comic Alliance. It sounds like something terrific.
Definitely something to watch out for.
Great. Well, it's good to talk with you, Cy, and take care. We'll talk with you again soon. We'll get an update every once in a while about the Indie Comics and where the situation's at with you all.
Definitely. Look forward to that.
Okay, thanks.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled.
It's Wayne's Comic Review.
Dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Before I review this week's comics, I wanted to mention that I started a new column for monstersandcritics.com. It's called A Comics Odyssey, which is a play from the title of the classic DC comic miniseries, A Cosmic Odyssey. Each week I'm going to be presenting a little bit of news, a couple of reviews, and some of my opinions on comics. So if you go to monstersandcritics.com, look under books, and then look under comics, you'll find my weekly column, A Comics Odyssey. I also wanted to talk a little bit about, if you want to get in touch with me and give me feedback regarding this podcast, I always welcome that. If you send it to waynescomics@gmail.com, that would be much appreciated. Let's look at what comics came out this week. A couple of Bat books, Batgirl number 19, which was pretty good. Batman Incorporated, which is actually doing better than I thought. We get to see Bruce Wayne go around the globe and recruit people. And I'm kind of enjoying that, actually. It's more Bruce Wayne than Batman than I'm used to, but Grant Morrison's doing a pretty good job on that book, so I like it. A hardcover that came out that's definitely worth having is the Gotham Central hardcover volume number 4 with the subtitle Corrigan. That series died way too soon. It was just a great book that looked at Gotham City from the perspective of the street cop. So you never really saw a lot of the superhero battles. You pretty much saw the aftermath, and they had to pick up what was going on after that. So the Gotham Central hardcover is definitely worth the buy. A couple of books that are already canceled came out this week, and that includes JSA All-Stars, Outsiders number 37 with Doomsday in it, and it's Doom Patrol number 20. So there's a lot of stuff that I like to support until we get to the end. One of the great books of the week was Superboy number 5. It's the race between Superboy and Kid Flash. And the winner is going to be quite a surprise, actually. It was a nicely written little bit there. The ending is quite interesting. I talked over on the SFP Now podcast about Zatanna number 10, which is spectacular. Paul Dini is just doing an inspired job on that book. It's all based on his wife. His wife happens to be a magician, a regular magician, and it's obviously based on her. And he does a good job with it, but he's put her in a real pickle this time. How she's going to get out of it, I'm not quite sure, and I don't want to spoil it. But I would highly recommend Zatanna number 10 up there with Superboy. One book that I'm kind of fading on is Guarding the Globe number 4. Robert Kirkman, who also put Walking Dead number 82 that's out this week. I just don't think that Guarding the Globe is turning into something that I like to read. I'm particularly unhappy that they made the Mexican superhero into something of an alcoholic. I thought that was a little racist, actually. I didn't quite go for that. I would have been better if somebody else had been an alcoholic instead of the Mexican. But I just don't think that book is going on me. And I like Britt, who's the guy in charge, so I'm rather surprised. One comic that I reviewed, or previewed actually, in my Comics Portal column over at scifipulse.net is Savage Beauty number 1, which I really liked. I think it's a pretty good comic having to do with action in a jungle sense. You've got two beautiful ladies, and they're basically out to stop injustice in Africa. And the thing about it is it's a little brutal. You get to see the bad guy in a red suit, and he does some pretty unspeakable things. So if that kind of thing doesn't appeal to you, I would avoid this book, but otherwise it's a terrific book. And I also want to mention from Boom Studios, Stan Lee Starborn number 4. That came out with also Farscape number 7, which is great fun. Stan Lee Starborn is a great continuation of the Stan Lee story about a human who thinks he's human, but he's actually from another world, and he's written all these novels, but then he comes to find out all this stuff is really real. So I find that really interesting. It's a pretty good concept. And those, I think, are the books that are worth talking about this week. We'll talk some more next week.
This is Mark Waid.
Hi, this is Amanda Tapping.
Hello, I'm Steve Pugh.
And you can catch them all right here on SFP Now.
One of the things I enjoy each week is looking over what they call the related merchandise in each comic store, and this week there's a lot, so I better go through it pretty quickly. The big thing that's coming in is on Tuesday night at midnight, the Marvel HeroClix giant-sized X-Men will be released, and I know several stores will be open locally to make sure people can buy them right on time and maybe even start playing with them. So Marvel HeroClix giant-sized X-Men, that's the thing that's going to have the HeroClix people all on Twitter this week. There are a lot of hoodies and t-shirts coming out this week, so let me kind of list them in a row here. The Arkham Asylum Inmate hoodies are out, all the way from medium through XXL. There's also Blue Beetle symbol t-shirts. There's a Brightest Day symbol life t-shirt. There's also the Green Arrow Bullseye t-shirt, so a lot of DC shirts seem to be coming out. One of the things that fascinates me is there's a jacket that has the Dynamic Forces George Perez Storyteller 35th Anniversary Edition on it. I've always been a fan of George Perez's storyteller and his artwork, so I'm just going to be fascinated to see what in the world they put on that. Getting back to t-shirts, there's Wonder Twins, the Jaina and Zan symbols are also out on t-shirts. There's also a Teen Titans symbol t-shirt. So shirts aplenty. Let's get down to the Disney stuff. It just seems like Disney's cranking out a lot of wonderful things these days. There's a whole bunch of Disney stuff and a Cars set of stuff. So Disney Brito, Mickey Mouse patriotic figurine, a Mickey summer figurine, a traditional personality pose Ariel figurine, a personality pose Cheshire Cat figurine, then there's the pose of the genie, I'm sure, from Aladdin, and then we get to the car stuff. There's a Cars 1 to 55 deluxe vehicle, a lenticular lens 155 vehicle, a Lightyear launcher, a Toon 143 dimension monster truck, there's a Ninja Knockout track set, and a Toon stunt track set also, so lots and lots of cars and track sets for Disney this time. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the Doctor Who good things that are out. There's a DVD, which is Doctor Who Arc. There's also an audio CD set for Doctor Who Demon Quest. Doctor Who has his own hoodies as well. There's Doctor Who Will See You, black hoodie. There's only two sizes, though, apparently, large and extra large. And then another DVD, The Seeds of Doom from Doctor Who. So the Whovians have a lot to get this week. There's bumper stickers, interestingly enough, for Firefly Serenity fans. Firefly engineered by Firefly bumper stickers. There's also an in-flight bumper sticker. So that's lots of stickers for Firefly folks to get. Now we get to some of the Marvel things, and there's a lot of it. There's the most expensive thing seems to be the Hercules statue, which is $200. There's also a Yellow Jacket statue, but he's not nearly as expensive. He's $185. And other stuff that Marvel's putting out, there's an Iron Man 6-inch action figure set. There's also an Iron Man Collection number 1. And Iron Man has his own Armor Museum Poe statue for $175. Then there's General Marvel Comics action figure 2-packs. And then DC we get back to for a minute. World's Greatest DC Heroes, there are 4 of them. There's Black Adam, there's Darkseid, there's the Martian Manhunter, and Shazam. I don't quite know what Martian Manhunter's doing in there with them, or Darkseid, but Black Adam and Shazam I can get. Then, getting back to Marvel and looking ahead to the Thor movie, there are a couple of things out that are kind of fun. There's a Thor movie foam sword, and there's a Thor movie lightning hammer, which I imagine that's what Thor carries. So those are all the good things that we have from them. Sticking with action figures, though, from Cartoon Network, the Ventura Brothers have 8-inch action figure series 1. So that's a bunch of things, but now we get to the things I find the most interesting. Barbie always kind of gets a rag on from me, and there are 2 Barbies that have come out this week. There's a Barbie Renaissance doll, then there's the Barbie Russia Mila Gold Label Collector doll. I don't know what that is, to be honest with you. I'm sure the Barbie fans will know, but this is just a heads up to let you know that those are out. I did want to mention that the Batman Brave and Bold, there's a Batmobile, a Battle Armor Batmobile, and there's also the basic action figure set. You know, by the time they get to this level, I'm sure that you don't ever get the real Batman anymore. You get all sorts of armored Batmans and underwater Batmans and all different other kinds of Batmans. So if you're a Batman Brave and the Bold fan, I like the show. I don't buy the action figures, but those are out this week. Then there's another amusing thing that I find really funny. There's a Beatles Yellow Submarine Ice Cube tray. Where the heck did that come from? I think it's in the shape of the Yellow Submarine, and you put ice cubes in it and store it away for when you want to chill your drink. So the Beatles Yellow Submarine Ice Cube tray. But now we get to my favorite of the week. There's just a wonderful thing called the Give Me the Brain 3rd Edition card game. We know that zombies are getting really, really popular these days, and just seems to be more and more wonderful zombie-related items. This is a game. It's supposed to be played for about 30 minutes. It's best with 3 to 4 players, and let me give you the summary of what it's about. Working in fast food is hell. All the employees are zombies, and you can't find a single brain among them. Except for the brain part, there is, in fact, one brain. And that's the premise of the Give Me the Brain card game, in which players take on the roles of zombies in a fast food restaurant in hell. They all have to complete a number of tasks before leaving work, and the work keeps piling on. Even worse, some of the tasks require basic intelligence, and they've only got one brain to share. So it's kind of interesting. Most people who love zombies are going to really love this. It's kind of a funny image of a green face with the one brain stuck in the head. So if you're a zombie fan, this is probably something you're going to get a big kick out of. And that's the wonderful things that are in the comic store this week. That's the latest edition of Wayne's Comics. I want to thank Saitatan again for coming on and talking with me about independent comics. He'll be back in the future to give us an update on how indie comics are doing. But until then, and until next week, keep reading your comics.
So I leave, knowing that a world full of heroes has nothing to fear.